I'll read Psalm 16 as it appears in the New King James, and then we'll have a brief psalm meditation. This is Psalm 16. A miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This psalm begins with a prayer. It begins with a prayer, preserve me, O God, for I put my trust in you. I'm struck with the simplicity of this prayer. By God's Holy Spirit, David knew that a promised Redeemer would one day come. And since God had promised a Redeemer, David understood that he had a very real reason to place his hope in the Lord. And it's a very simple and direct resting in those promises of God that he expresses in that prayer. O Lord, in you I place my trust. There's a very simple directness about that. I'm also struck by how profound that prayer is. Just think of who David was. He was a king. He had soldiers and generals that would come at his command. He was the champion who had defeated the giant Goliath. He could have very easily come to trust in his own skill to fight, in his own great armies and the powers that were there, and how rich he had become. But he didn't. He trusted in God. You are my God, says David. My goodness, everything that I have, is nothing apart from you. In a very determined way, David forsook anything that he could accomplish in and of himself. He took satisfaction in God alone and in his kingdom. Even speaking of the people of God around him, the messengers that he takes delight in. And then David contemplates on the goodness of God and his trustworthiness. And here is where this psalm takes on a very precious character. It really is something of a measure of the blessings that he has had. He first states it in negative ways. He says that unbelievers or idolaters, those who hasten after other gods, all they get is sorrows. They multiply griefs. And comparing that and measuring it, David will just say bluntly, that's not for me. My trust is in the Lord. I will not hasten after them. I will not pour out their drink offerings. But then David goes on to measure the good blessings of the Lord. And he measures them out in some material ways, but in more than material ways. So in the material ways, he says that the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance. That needs just a little bit of explanation. The children of Israel did inherit certain specific portions of the promised land. There were literal lines of demarcation that marked out their inherited lands. And David just pauses in saying, those lines, that inheritance is lovely. God, you have given us good things. And by speaking of that physical inheritance, he could lump in all of the physical blessings that had come to him. But he measures out more than physical blessings. He says that God has given me counsel. He has instructed me. Again, think of David's position as a leader and how he is not leaning on his own understanding, but in the context of governing and in the context of leadership, he is very deliberately placing his trust and his assurance on what God has done. This also has a key element to it of David's recognition of the presence of the Holy Spirit that the Lord had poured out on him. That Holy Spirit was a spirit of prophecy so that he would know Jesus Christ. The New Testament writers look back on David and they say, by the spirit of prophecy, he saw Jesus. He knew that there was a Redeemer and that Redeemer would forgive sins and that Redeemer would deliver from the penalty of death. And in a sense, at the climax of this psalm, David brings his praise to the highest point as he follows God's blessings on even past death itself. He follows those blessings on into eternity. And I have to admit that we don't often associate the following words with death. Gladness, glory, rejoicing, pleasure. Those aren't words that we often hear at funerals or that we often associate with the subject of death. But David does. If you look at verses 9 through 11, he expresses that he has joy and hope. And here is where the blessing of God really comes out in this psalm. It's a joy that our God is with us even beyond death itself. And because of that, we do not need to fear death. Now, in saying it that way, I don't want you to think that death is no longer an enemy or that death is no longer sad. It is. Jesus himself wept over the continuing power of death and the evidence of the sin that indicates. It is right and it is proper for believers to grieve when a loved one dies because death is a symbol of that sin and the judgment of God that comes because of it. And yet, you do not need to fear it. And that's what this psalm really strikes a note about. By Jesus Christ, we do not need to fear death. And David grasps this very powerful promise. God would preserve his Holy One from decay. And here is where he sees Jesus. He looks forward to the promise of the Messiah, the one who would lay down his life for sins. But he would not remain in the grave. The New Testament, over and over again, quotes this psalm as David foreseeing by the Holy Spirit the promise of the resurrection. And it's as if David reasons like this. If the Lord will preserve his anointed one, then he will also preserve me. He will also preserve all of God's people. You'll find similar thoughts all throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15 declares that Jesus has taken away the victory and the sting of death by his resurrection. We need not fear death because Jesus has defeated it. Instead of being an ugly end, death for a believer becomes something of a beautiful beginning. An entrance into the very presence of God where there is fullness of joy. See that in the context of remembering that it is right to grieve the loss of a loved one. And yet, see it in the context of these promises, that there is fullness of joy, the presence of the Lord. So while death is still an enemy and still a source of sorrow, you need not fear. Like David, you can look forward to an eternity of peace and joy in the presence of your Savior because of Jesus. Let's sing our praise and our confidence in the Lord using Psalm 16, Selection D. Psalm 16, Selection D. Please stand to praise God.
Preserve me, O God, for I'm trusting in you. Yes, you are my master, I said to the Lord. Beside you I do not possess any good. In your holy messenger I take delight. Those running to idols will multiply grief. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I manifest their vain names with my lips. The Lord's my inherited portion and cup. You care for my lot where the lines fell to me. My pleasant and lovely inherited land. The Lord who gives counsel to me I will bless. For surely my mind teaches me through the night. The Lord ever present before me I keep. He stands at my right and I shall not be moved. My glory rejoices, my heart is made glad, and also my flesh will live safely at ease. For you'll not abandon my soul to the grave. Your godly one you will preserve from decay. Life's path you will show me, for joy is with you. Your right hand holds pleasures for me evermore.
Please be seated. As we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, we will sing Psalm 121, Selection C. My Much like in Psalm 16, we say that our trust is in the Lord. Unto the hills I lift my longing eyes. Whence comes my aid? The Lord's my help. There's that simple and profound profession of faith. Psalm 121c, let's give God our offerings.
Unto the hills I lift my longing eyes, whence comes my aid? The Lord's my help, the heavens and the earth by Him were made. Your foot from stumbling He will always keep. The one who guards your life will never sleep. He who keeps Israel slumber not nor sleeps but night or day. The Lord keeps you a shade on your right hand. The Lord will stay. Throughout the day the sun will never smite, nor will the moon afflict you in the night. You will be saved.